Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, the stranger on Netflix watching, Parasite movie watching. Everyone should buy an Instant Pot friend.
Yes, and I am Bethleen. I'm Bethleen. I did it again last week. I said Bethleen. I am Bethany, your dry-eyed, under-caffeinated, haven't gotten a good night's sleep in about 3 days friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
love and sex.
Valentine's Day.
Yay.
Commercial holidays for everyone.
Yay. Kathleen, this is your decision.
Yes.
And when you texted me that we should talk about sex, my response via text was probably underwhelming.
Yeah, you were like, ugh.
I did say, ugh.
I know that sex is not your favorite topic.
No, there's so much shame associated with
Bethany,
it.
Bethany, we need to shake this shame.
Well, and I talked to my sister's in town, my older sister's in town, and I had a chat with her this morning about it, and she understands where the shame comes from, which is very interesting.
Is it because you're from the Midwest?
No, I think it's because I was raised, as was she, during the AIDS crisis. And so at least our teachers were operating under the assumption that we were all going to get AIDS.
Yeah.
Like, so there was this sense of panic around sex. And mm-hmm. so sex was spoken about as something that was going to get you sick.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't an option, whether or not. And so if you had sex, especially before marriage, you were going to get sick with something. And so I think that just like inherently comes with it.
I understand
that. This whole idea of shame and fear and like not wanting to touch that topic growing up. And that's just sort of has sunk in so deeply that I don't really, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff going on too, but like that's a big part of it.
You know, this conversation about sex, I think, is a conversation that more people need to have, especially with their children.
Yeah.
And you know, sex in my house was, I never had a conversation with either of my parents about abstinence. But I don't know if I really ever truly had a conversation about sex at all.
Did you? So you didn't get the sex talk at all?
No, like maybe. I remember my dad figured out once when I was in seventh grade, I was going to like a shady movie theater to try and get tickets to, what's that movie? Varsity Blues with the whipped cream bikini.
I love Varsity Blues. That movie is so good. It ends happy for everyone from what I remember.
I mean, and also James Vanderbeek because Dawson's Creek. Paul Walker. That's why I was going to see that movie basically for James Vanderbeek. And my dad caught on that my friends and I were like going to try and buy rated R tickets. We were like 13. And I think he tried to have a conversation with me like right before I went to go see that movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad,
this isn't happening.
You know, and there's so much more information for teens and young kids to find on the internet these days.
Yeah.
I mean, and yes, a lot of it is misinformation.
Yes.
A lot of it is like really sexist in the way that it's presented to particularly young girls and young men. When I mean, the amount of porn that they have access to.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Like,
in the way that they portray women in these pornos, like, it's not realistic.
No, I know. I dated somebody whose only understanding of sex was what he learned from porn.
That's
and so it had nothing to do with female pleasure.
Insane.
And it was just about like camera angles.
Yeah.
Which there's no camera.
And bleached anuses.
Ugh.
And I do give my mother credit for this. When I got my period, you know, like I told her, and she like was very open and like understanding and not at all shameful about that. And she said to me, you know, when I got my period, I was like too afraid to even tell my mother. I didn't even know what was happening to me. I thought I was dying because like nobody up until that point in her life had ever had a conversation with her about what happens when you hit puberty and you get your period and stuff like that.
She just thought she was like
hemorrhaging. And so she tried to do better than her mother, and I will try to do better than mine when I have children and have this conversation with them.
Sure.
And I think that's all anyone can really do, right?
Totally. Yeah, totally. And you know, I think it turned out pretty well.
You did. I think you did. So Valentine's Day, you and Dennis are coming over for dinner.
Yeah, we are. I'm excited. You texted me for dietary restrictions.
I did. I'm so excited. No, I brought this to show you.
I'm
pulling out a clipboard, and we
are
capturing some of this on my phone. So we're going to post some video of this podcast on our Instagram. Hello, phone over there in the corner.
I see you haven't fixed your tripod.
No, I haven't.
Okay, cool.
It's still a broken tripod. Now, I have a clipboard.
Okay.
I've been working very hard on this menu. I'm going to flash it to you. At the top it says vegan dinner party. That's it. Ready? Flash.
Ooh, all I saw was another word vegan. That's a long menu.
So I'm like really working very hard on my menu.
Honey.
Because Dennis is a vegan.
Yes. And
this is like a challenge for me. Like I'm excited to cook a full dinner party menu that's totally vegan. I've never done it before. And I like the fact that it makes you get creative with flavors.
Yes. It's like I had an acting teacher who always said that life is better when you have rules because chess, right? Like in chess, there are so many rules and there are a million different outcomes
yep.
from those rules. Whereas if you don't have any rules, you're almost paralyzed with the choices.
Yeah.
So like the fact that you can only do vegan really focuses you.
It does.
And I'm excited to see what a Kathleen... Ooh, that was just...
Oh,
did you
burp?
Hear that? No, it was bubbly water that came back up my throat. Is that considered a burp?
I love that feeling. That's why I drink seltzer. So when I open it up and I like take a huge gulp, it burns the inside of my throat because I like pain.
Because there it is. I'm excited to see what a Kathleen dinner party looks like.
Well, it's a Valentine's Day dinner party. First of all, I think Valentine's Day is like an okay holiday.
It's fine.
Usually I eat myself into a stupor of Indian food and sit on the couch until like I have to go to bed and I roll myself into the bedroom.
Yeah. And what's Neil doing during that portion of the time?
Neil does the same exact thing. And we get drunk and we watch like a movie or something. But we did that last weekend.
Okay.
And we watched, have you seen Parasite?
Yes.
Oh my God. Like, it's so good. So good.
So I'm in SAG-AFTRA, which means that I get screeners for the SAG Awards.
Yes.
And when you get those screeners, you are supposed to watch them and then you are supposed to destroy them.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to get pirated. And it's, you know, having a movie pirated is awful. People lose money, et cetera. So,
and I think the technology is so that like if you gave out your DVD and it got pirated, someone could track it back to you.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Very often. So I do go and I shred the DVDs like a rule follower. Parasite is the only one that I've kept because I want to watch it one more time.
It is so good. And I've been wanting to see it for a while. And finally, it was available to rent on like Amazon Prime this weekend. And I'm so thrilled that it won the Oscar for Best Picture.
It's so freaking good.
I think it was the first foreign film ever to win an Oscar.
I think you're right.
Or like in 92 years or something like that.
So I went and saw it with my friend Miran, who is Korean-American.
Yeah.
And it is a Korean film.
Yeah.
And watching it with her was so fascinating because there are so many things that we do not pick up that are like very subtle and very indicative. It's if you haven't seen Parasite, it's like an upstairs downstairs sort of vibe where it's
upper class, lower class.
Exactly.
The difference is the dichotomy, you know, of like having money and not having money.
Yeah. And there are things that the upper class, the actors in the upper class look like and do and wear that I didn't pick up on.
That Miran picked up on.
Yep. She was like, oh, this person was doing this and that. And I won't get into specifics because it's not my
story.
This
is not
to
a
tell,
film
but like,
podcast.
But it's fascinating.
Everyone should rent it.
Yeah.
It was so good. And if you're turned off by subtitles, this is the one time you need to make an exception. So good.
A little spoilerly, but just like if you don't want, just fast forward a couple hits. When did it turn weird for you? When did you suddenly get a vibe?
I suddenly got a vibe.
Because it takes a turn.
It does. And it's not necessarily horror, but there are definitely parts where I was like gripping the pillow that I was holding like, what is going to happen? It took a turn for me when the sister was hired as the art teacher.
Oh,
and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
But that's when it took a turn for me.
Oh, you picked up on everything earlier than I did.
Really?
When the former maid shows up during the thunderstorm outside.
Ah.
As soon as she showed up and they saw her on the camera, I just got chills and I said, something is wrong.
Something's bad is going to happen.
Something is wrong. Ooh. But I could. Oh, it's so good.
I cannot say enough good things about it. I also watched The Stranger on Netflix this weekend.
Which one is that?
It's this new one. It's like a BBC thing. I think it's like a one and done, like one. It's one season and then it's over.
Is that the one with...
Highly recommend. A stranger shows up and starts telling people that they know their secrets.
Oh, I saw the trailer for that one and I haven't watched it yet.
Excellent. So good. And I finally got caught up on Younger on TV Land.
Okay.
Starring Hilary Duff and Sutton Foster, two of my favorites.
So you're fully caught up.
I'm like, and the Bold Type. I'm caught up on the Bold Type too. and I started watching The Pharmacist, I am addicted to television.
I think I just realized that The Bold Type and Younger are not the same show.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. And I also want to talk about magazines. I brought a Cosmo with me, and I had a major realization about magazines today.
Are we going to talk about, should we talk about it now, or is it part of your thing?
Oh, well, it's part of our, I don't yeah. know, like our loosey-goosey Valentine's Day sex episode. We've got some emails from listeners with, like, sex questions that Bethany and I are going to give our best professional, non-professional answers to.
And I also am going to talk about love, the chemicals involved in love, and why you shouldn't make decisions at certain times.
Oh.
And also, according to my sister, Nicole,
yeah.
the best way to ensure a lasting relationship.
Really?
Uh-huh. I interviewed her this morning.
Bottle pheromones.
Shake it up and spray them with it.
And I've got a bunch of weird sex facts to put you in the mood for Valentine's Day. You ready to do this?
Nope.
Bethany?
Yes.
Being kind to the environment is one of the things that I am most concerned about in my life right now. And that is why I love buying clothes secondhand on ThredUp.com.
It is not just good for the earth. It is also good for your wallet.
Hell yeah.
Because ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store, and you can get up to 90% off estimated retail.
And did you know that if everyone in the U.S. bought just one used item instead of a new item, it would save nearly 6 billion pounds of carbon emissions? That's like taking 500,000 cars off the road for a whole year.
That's insane.
All you have to do is buy some clothes.
Yeah. You get the insane deals on ThredUp that thrifting gives you, but it's the convenience of online shopping, and you get your favorite brands. They have Nike for only $6. Theory starting at $20. Lululemon for $27.
I saw Madewell on there for $10 the other day.
It's so great. And if you use our link, you get an extra 30% off your first order. All you have to do is go to ThredUp.com/taste.
Instead of spending hours going through racks at the stores, on ThredUp you can customize your search by size or by style or by budget. I have found insane deals on ThredUp. Some of my favorite items that I wear are from ThredUp.com.
Yeah, same. Absolutely same. It is so easy. Everything is in high quality condition. Lots of items even have their tags still on. Plus, ThredUp gets new arrivals every minute, so there are always new treasures to find. Sustainable, stylish, and totally affordable. You'll look and feel good with ThredUp. And for an Acquired Taste listeners, here's an exclusive offer just for you. Get an extra 30% off your first order at ThredUp.com/taste.
Again, get an extra 30% off of your first order at ThredUp.com/taste. That's ThredUp.com/taste for 30% off of your first order.
ThredUp.com/taste for an extra 30% off today. Terms apply.
All right. Before we get into your pheromones.
Yes.
Let's get into some listener submitted questions about Valentine's Day and sex.
Okay.
Some of these are juicy.
So this one isn't a question.
Okay.
This is just a story.
Okay.
She wants to stay anonymous.
Let's call her Ariel.
Ariel.
Okay.
So she emailed us because she gave her voice away to Ursula. So this is a perfect medium for her. She says, so in high school, my sex drive was insane. I would literally have sex anywhere, wherever, whenever. Mm. She'll find ways to be together.
I wish I was that comfortable with my body when I was in high school.
Girl, same. Yeah. So she said, I'm so ashamed to say it, even as a 30-year-old, but the craziest place I've had sex was on a school bus in the last seat while people were sitting across from us on a school trip with teachers in the front of the bus and foggy windows. Where are those teachers?
Holy
those teachers
mackerel.
Are failing.
Holy mackerel.
She said, ladies, I'm so damn embarrassed that I did this. No one said anything. I'm sure some kids in the back knew. Why did I do this?
No, don't beat yourself up.
Ugh, it kills me, but that's my secret. Oh, also, I'm a little ashamed of giving a BJ in a full movie theater while sitting in the front row. Who am I? She says.
Oh, my God. Have you ever done anything like that, Bethany?
No, not when there's like other people around.
I cannot admit to whatever I have done on this podcast.
You have to.
I might want to be employed by somebody one day.
This was your idea. You have to admit it. You have to.
There might have been Mom, if you were listening to this right now, shut it off.
Turn it up.
Turn this podcast off.
Turn it
podcast off.
Up, up, up.
I might have given and nope, no.
You all have right. to.
Let me read this.
Was it an HJ or a BJ?
Let me read this email from
Or an AJ.
What's an AJ? other than a Backstreet Boy.
An Ainus job.
Or is it AJ is from NSYNC? I don't
know. He was a Backstreet Boy.
Backstreet Boy. All right.
You didn't answer the question. HJ, BJ, or AJ?
This comes from, I should change her name. If you share this podcast, you can make up a fun name. Let's call her Belle.
I bet it was a BJ.
Let's call her Woody. No, I'm just thinking of all Disney Pixar names.
Let's call her Mickey.
Let's call her Mickey. Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. My name is Mickey. Thanks for the fake name. While Valentine's Day is coming up, everyone I know is excited to, and in quotes, get it on with their special someone. For me, that is a different story. I have been dating my boyfriend, let's call him Sawyer, for about 3 years.
Okay.
I'm 22 years old and he is 24.
Okay.
In the beginning of our relationship, like every relationship, our sex was mind-blowing. We were doing it like bunnies all the time.
Yeah.
As time went on, we got more comfortable with each other, but there was something that I noticed that he did during sex that was a complete and utter turnoff. When he would get really into the moment and was enjoying himself, he would moan.
Okay.
Usually that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Uh-huh.
Feedback.
Usually this would be a turn on for me, but I noticed that his moans were becoming more effeminate rather than deep and masculine.
So he's like,
I mean, I'm trying to like from the perspective of a guy who's usually like, oh yeah,
I don't like the baby in the Aaliyah song.
I can't even do it. It got to the point where I was so turned off by it that I didn't want to have sex with him.
No.
Oh. I confronted him about it, but there really is nothing that we can do. It still happens occasionally, and it is bothersome. I love him, and I want to stay with him, but this is just something that I need to learn to deal with. Do you have any advice for me? Thank you for reading this.
I mean, I'm impressed that you talked to him about it, because that can be tough.
I also feel like it's a little bit sex shamey-y.
But she's also not to be blamed for what like turns her on and doesn't
know,
turn her on.
I know, so, I feel so bad.
So I think that's her question is, it sounds like she's come to terms with the fact that this is not her place to ask him to change, because you don't want to also ask him to be super in his head during sex. Maybe play music kind of loudly.
I would be devastated if a sexual partner of mine was like, listen, the way that you are moaning is turning me off.
Yeah.
I would never have sex with this person ever again.
Yeah, I feel that would be really, really tough.
I don't know, Mickey. It depends how important sex is to you in a relationship. You say you want to stay with him, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a couple ways of approaching this. I think that you can bring it up again in a conversation and say, look, this is pulling me out of the moment.
Yeah.
And there are so many other things you do that I find so sexy. And is there a way that we can, you'd have to word it so carefully.
I
think being
it's
able
sensitive.
To focus on the really positive things that he does during sex. Like, I love the way that you do this, or you move like this, or you say this. And for some reason, it really pulls me out of the moment when you moan like a lady. So,
oh,
you know,
I hate that.
Maybe phrase it in the that way. It pulls me out of it.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Or just, I like it better when you moan in a deeper voice.
Yeah. Or I
that
yeah.
really turns me on.
I like it when you growl like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast when he's,
yes.
you know,
this is
when
how
he's angry.
I would handle it by telling him what I like.
Yeah.
As opposed to what I don't like.
Yeah. Maybe even in the moment, like maybe even as you're having sex, if he does something else, you can say, ooh, I love that you just did that more or whatever. It's tough. These conversations are so hard because it's the most intimate, literally, thing you can do with a person. And to give
and
them feedback.
It's often like sensitive. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Next one.
Okay. This is quick and dirty.
All right. How I like it. How your mom likes it.
Okay. You stop with my mother. You leave her out of this. She's a nice lady.
You're right. She is. She's a good church going lady.
Okay. So this is from, we'll just call her, let's call her Ursula.
Okay. Ursula.
Love the name Ursula. Mm-hmm. Simple. She asks, small penises, what positions help get the most out of it? I think if you're on your back and your legs are on your chest and he's like, on top against the backs of your thighs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what? I don't think I've ever slept with somebody with a small pee.
I have.
With a small pee-pee. I'm opening up my Cosmo right now because actually I was reading my Cosmo on the way in, and I'll talk more about Cosmo
later.
Hard-hitting
news. As you're looking for that, there's an article on Men's Health, the 6 best sex positions for guys with small penises. And the picture is a woman holding her fingers super close together.
Oh, like she's measuring his pee-pee with her.
That's so hurtful.
So in the March issue of Cosmo, because I couldn't find the February issue, there's a whole flow chart about what kind of shape penis your guy has.
Oh.
And what the best position is based on the shape and the size. So
what a useful flow chart.
Yeah, they give you like mushroom shape, hammer shape, banana shape, pencil shape, cucumber
shape.
I don't know. I didn't know that a penis could be shaped like all of these different things. I thought a penis was just a penis. Mm. Anyway, it tells you based on the shape and the size, like a flow chart. So let's say that her boyfriend has a small mushroom.
Okay.
A small mushroom.
Small.
A small mushroom. Okay. Flow.
By the
flow. Anal. No, anal.
Oh, wow.
They say you should do anal. Since his penis already kind of resembles a beginner butt plug, small and a little plump, why not try the back door? Stock up on lube for easy entry, then explore booty play by bending over and getting on all fours.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, Ursula, if you're open to that, then that's an option.
If it's a small banana, you should try cowgirl.
So this article says doggy style is one.
Doggy
one.
Okay, for a small penis.
Yeah. Elevated reverse cowgirl. So he's on his back. You're facing away from him. You are on top. He's looking at your boat. And then he lifts a leg so that you're sort of like up against a... So he's like pulls one knee up and you're like up against that. Splitting bamboo is a good one.
What the holy hell?
Okay. Here's how we're going to describe. Okay. This is splitting bamboo. Describe that position.
Splitting bamboo is the female is on her back and her butt is propped up by her man's thighs. He's sitting on his legs like, you know, how do you... It's not crisscross applesauce.
No, he's like he's sitting on his... ankles.
He's sitting like on his ankles. Like, yeah. His thighs are folded over kind of like a pillow in front of him and his knees are bent.
Yeah.
And instead of being your butt being propped up on a pillow, your butt is propped up on his legs.
Yeah, on
your
feet.
And then he's entering you that way.
So you have like one leg up.
Over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Just one.
Basically, you're creating a reverse L shape.
Yeah.
And he's like crouched up against the long portion of the L.
And so he's clutching your one leg that's in the air, and,
yeah,
and it looks like maybe your other leg is just laying flat. So yeah, you're the bamboo that's being split.
Yeah. Maybe your other leg is bent.
Is that something that people know how to do? They know how to split bamboo? Like,
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know bamboo needed to be split. Side cowgirl, so it's like same but only one leg.
You know,
pile driver.
There are so many sex positions out there. Like, if you just go to Cosmo.com, they have a whole section dedicated, yeah, to these sex positions. When I'm in the mood and I'm doing it, like, I just want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not like, hey, wait, let me reference this Kama Sutra book.
Or this pamphlet.
Turn to page 115. I put a post-it there.
Did I ever tell you about the time I bought the Kama Sutra from my ex-boyfriend?
Did I just call it Kama Sutra?
That's okay.
I think I did. I always do. Wait, so you bought a what?
So I was at Savers.
Yeah.
This is when I was like home from college.
Okay.
And I was at Savers in my hometown.
So Savers is like, it's like a dollar store.
Yeah, it's like a Goodwill.
Okay. Got it.
And I found a copy of the Kama Sutra and I was like, I'm gonna buy this. And the person working the desk at Savers was my ex-boyfriend. And he had just broken up with me via phone.
Okay.
And so
the best way to break up with someone.
Yeah. So I went up there and I just sort of awkwardly put it down and he looked at me and he goes, I got that whole book right here. And he tapped his head.
No.
And then I bought the Kama Sutra from him.
I cannot believe you did that in front of an ex-boyfriend.
Like, what else are you... So first of all...
That's like buying a package of extra Magnum condoms and being like,
yeah,
you and I are no longer together,
yeah,
but I have other prospects.
Exactly. I'm going to learn all of this and you're not going to get any part of it.
Speaking of sex toys, Emily wrote to us, hi, ladies. For the first time ever, I ordered over $100 worth of sex toys and a sexy outfit for Valentine's Day. My boyfriend and I have never used toys and I'm super nervous. I don't want him to feel like I need toys because he isn't doing a good job. I just wanted to spice things up a little bit. Any advice on how to approach him when Valentine's Day comes? If it matters, we've been together for almost 5 years. Yes, and
wow, amazing.
You bought toys.
Good for you.
I feel like a lot of people are embarrassed to like go into a sex shop or like order stuff online. Do not be embarrassed.
No, and if you are, get them online.
Yes.
Get a Tracy's dog. She's got it going on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think your boyfriend is just going to be so, he's going to kiss the ground that you walk on, the fact that you want to have sex on Valentine's Day.
And also, they're not just for you. Like, yeah. Even if they're shaped for you, yeah. They can still be very good for him. Just say, hey, I think this will be fun for us. Not just for me, but this will be fun for us.
I can't remember if it was a taste bud who wrote this into us, or if I read it online doing research for this episode, where someone said they were handcuffed and their sexual partner had a seizure.
Nightmare.
I'm not into handcuffs per se.
No, I also am not. Have you seen Gerald's Game?
No, what's that?
I think it's a Stephen King story, and it was made into a film, and it is brutal. But basically what happens is that it's this married couple. They're like trying to reinvigorate their sex life. He handcuffs her to the bed and then he dies.
No.
And so she's stuck there.
That is, no.
And that's the beginning of the movie. Now she has to figure out how to get out.
Unless the handcuffs are like toy handcuffs that you can get yourself out.
They're real.
It's
awful. There's blood involved at the end.
I'm not into it.
Spoiler alert. She has to like take the skin off of one of her hands.
Oh.
It's awful. I don't watch it. Don't watch it.
Oh.
It's bad news.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It gets bad real fast.
Sexy handcuffs. Hopefully you buy a pair that are fuzzy, that don't take your skin off, and that you don't need keys to get out
of. Yeah. Okay. This is from a taste bud, and we will call her Isabella. Is that a Disney princess
I'm
name?
Not sure, but
well,
it's
you know what? Let's call her Eric. I don't care.
Okay. We'll call her Eric. Erica.
Can you ladies please normalize the fact that not all women can reach orgasm through vaginal penetration alone? That is correct.
Yeah, I can't.
No, same.
I need help.
She says, I've been in a serious relationship for more than a year now. My guy gets so disappointed that I can't come with him simply thrusting inside of me. Believe me, I would love to be that simple. He's under the assumption that he is failing at sex because he can't get me to climax through penetration alone. He thinks that something must be wrong with me. I am trying to explain to him that I'm not one of the few. I am one of the majority. That is, again, a problem where porn teaches people how to have sex because women always come from penetration. No. I would say
they're really good
at
faking it in porn.
Yeah.
They're usually probably not orgasming.
I'm going to look up stats, but I think it's like most women can't come from penetration.
Oh, you know what? It makes me really mad at this taste bud's sexual partner that he's making her feel bad about this. Get out of here.
Yeah. It's
dump this loser.
Something is not wrong with you.
Girlfriend, get on top of him. Get yourself a little egg. They're like these tiny little vibrators. They don't have to be these huge, intrusive, big wands that sometimes you see like sex therapists using on TV.
Yeah.
Get yourself like a tiny little vibrating egg and get on top of him and then like do what you got to do, vaginal and clitoral.
This says there are some women who have never climaxed in their entire lives.
Yeah. Remember we had that taste bud who wrote into us.
Yeah. The stats are really tough. So there is a stat floating around that says between 50 and 75% of women can't orgasm from penetration alone. But this sex expert says that there's not really hard and fast rules about that or studies.
Because people don't like to talk about this. And like, you're not going to go to a doctor's office and be like, let's do a study. Will you fill out a survey about your orgasms?
Yeah,
like,
it's
just not going to happen.
So it looks like about 50% of women have reported at least sometimes orgasming as a result of penetration. But that leaves another 50% who have not.
Yeah.
And then that 50% that did, it was just sometimes. So tell your boyfriend
to
calm
off.
It down. It is not about either of you. It is just the way it is. And he needs to figure out some other tricks of the trade.
Honest to goodness, did she say that it's a boyfriend or are they married?
I think she said boyfriend.
I would dump this guy. I would dump him.
It is an indication that he doesn't believe you in stuff.
Yeah, he's sexually shaming you. He's making you feel bad about something.
And why? He needs to believe you when you say that this is normal.
Or
maybe do his own research.
Yeah.
I just did a quick cursory Google search and that took me 2 minutes. I think if he's invested, he can do that.
In a healthy sexual relationship, You should have a partner who's willing to listen to what you have to say about your own pleasure.
Yeah.
And that person should never put you down about your own pleasure in a way that is hurtful or makes you feel bad.
Totally.
End of story.
Well done.
I'm mad. All right, Bethany, let's talk about sex chemicals.
Let's talk a little bit about relationships. If you are somebody who is in a relationship and you love the high and the excitement of the beginning of the relationship,
yeah,
you need to be aware that that will go away and that is not a sign of a bad relationship.
Obviously. I think a lot of people get freaked out when the honeymoon phase is over and they're like, oh, we don't like each other as much as we used to.
Yeah.
No, everybody's honeymoon phase ends eventually.
Yes. So it is all chemicals. So let's talk really quickly about the chemicals involved.
Science. Sexy science.
So the chemicals involved in love and romance are made by nature to be super potent and to get you to procreate, give birth to a healthy child, and then take care of them until that child is grown up. That is the purpose of the chemicals in your body.
Okay.
So be aware.
Yeah.
According to a neurologist named Dr. Fred Knorr, everything related to love happens in your brain. That includes romance. And the romance section is programmed to be fairly short. So if you want to be in a long-term relationship, you have to accept that falling in love is a phase that's going to go away. And then if you're willing to accept that, there will be fewer divorces and more people will be happy in their relationships.
I think some people are addicted to that high that they get at the beginning of a relationship. That's why a lot of people will be like, oh, I only date someone for 3 months and then I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's, you're not necessarily done. I mean, maybe you haven't met the right person to make you want to go the long run, but I think you're addicted to like the butterflies.
Yep, that thrill. So there's like three stages to a romance or a relationship.
Okay.
The pre-stage is mate selection.
Do you care if I take some notes?
Go for it, baby.
Pre-selection.
Okay, so this isn't really even a stage. This is just pre-selection. Okay. So
stage zero, pre-selection.
So much of this is unconscious. Your instincts are guiding you through the process. So if you're in a room full of people and you find yourself drawn to one of them, it is because your body senses that your genes mixed with that person's genes would produce healthy children. That is what your body is drawing you to.
You know, it's really strange that you say that because one of the weird sex facts that I looked up for this pod is that spouses may have similar DNA.
That makes sense.
It says scientists already know that people tend to choose romantic partners with similar characteristics such as age, race, religion, income, and upbringings. But another study says that people also tend to marry others with similar DNA, and it sort of goes along with what you're saying.
Makes total sense. Okay, so you found that person in the room full of people and you find yourself very drawn to them.
First of all, can we just say how weird it is that people who like each other find each other at all?
It's so bizarre.
It's bizarre. You know, there's that saying, there's so many fish in the sea. But when you're in a room of people, sometimes you are just so drawn to one person and it is weird.
It's just bizarre when it's mutual and you're like, why do we hit it off so well?
I remember the first time I saw my husband and I was like, oh shit.
And then you put on a bikini and washed a car or something
like that.
The dance of love.
He walked into the room and there were other people in the room and I was just like, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I got that feeling.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun feeling.
It is.
Yeah, I can see why people get addicted to it.
And then there's the chase.
And there's the chase. Mm. There's being chased and there's chasing.
Yes.
There's getting caught. It's super fun. So that's step one, the lust step, the phase. You're physically attracted. You want to be around them. You want to seduce them or be seduced. There's like a mystery. There's an intensity. It is driven primarily by testosterone in men and estrogen in women.
Yeah.
Lust occurs across species. It's the basic drive to find a partner to spread our genes. But it's different than love.
Okay.
And they found that injecting men with testosterone makes them desire a potential lover more, but not necessarily fall in love in any lasting way.
Huh.
So this man named Charles, they don't give him a last name, but it's from agapeaid.org, and I'll list all of my sources.
Yeah.
Says, feelings are fickle. Expecting feelings by themselves to keep a marriage together is unrealistic. So the lust phase usually lasts from 1 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It can last as long as 2 years or as short as 2 days.
2 years? I would love to know who's been in lust for 2 years.
I know.
That sounds exhausting.
I know. I feel like the Smiths were, Will and Jada Pinkett. They strike me as just a super into each other couple.
They seem like they might be sexually adventurous.
Oh, yeah.
Like the vibes that they give off, like, maybe there's other, like, it looks like maybe they bring in outside people into the relationship.
There are rumors.
Like maybe that they're swingers.
There are rumors. okay, so the next phase, attraction.
Yeah.
So this is where you begin to obsess about your lover. You crave their presence. Yeah. Your heart races. You don't feel like sleeping or eating. You get sweaty palms. You get all this energy. You want to talk about them all the time.
Yeah.
So these feelings are because of norepinephrine, dopamine, and serotonin.
Well, it's not sexy when you say it that way.
I know, but it's helpful so you know that this is chemical and it's not like if you can't be with that person, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You're not. This is all chemicals in your brain making you feel. This is all ones and zeros making you feel like you're in the Matrix.
I remember that phase. I remember that phase.
Yeah.
Like, did you and Dennis, I know it's different because you guys started dating in your 30s as opposed to like high school years.
Yeah.
But there, Neil and I used to stay up all night. All night talking to each other.
No.
Really?
No, because I love to sleep.
Because you love to sleep. We stayed up one night in the library. It was like a library in college was open 24 hours. I was studying for an exam that I didn't get any sleep for. Took it the next day, bombed it, and then immediately dropped out of the class. It was probably my husband's fault. Or maybe I wasn't born to succeed in macrobiology.
Maybe you just didn't love macrobiology like you loved a bit of Neil. So dopamine is associated with motivation, reward, goal-directed behavior. So that's your drive to pursue your loved one. Or fantasize about them if you're not around them.
Yeah.
And it also creates a sense of novelty. So that's what makes your loved one seem exciting and unique and better than anyone else in the world.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell so, yeah. Don't you feel like Dennis is the best boyfriend in the whole world?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everyone should be as lucky as you are.
Totally.
That's how I feel about Neil.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's the best husband.
You should. Yeah. So the next one is norepinephrine. So that's the extra surge of energy and that racing heart that you feel. That's also maybe why you lose your appetite and your desire for sleep. It's basically putting your body into a super alert state. There, you're ready for action.
Norepinephrine.
Yep.
Not to be confused with Efren. And is it a coincidence that she was the queen of rom-coms?
I mean, she'll also make your heart race.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's ever made that connection before.
I think you're the first.
I must write to her family.
The last one is serotonin.
Okay.
So serotonin, scientists think that it probably decreases at this stage. Lower levels of serotonin are found in people with OCD, and they are thought to cause obsessive thinking. So they found in an Italian study, they studied 60 students, they found that those who were recently in love and those who had OCD both had less serotonin transporter proteins in their blood than regular students. So it's similar symptoms, being in love and having OCD because of lower serotonin, they think.
I see it.
Yeah. Mm. So this phase, these feelings go away in a couple of years. But
then what happens? You grow old and your boobs touch the floor.
Then we go into the next phase. But it is important to have this phase because it prepares you for true love down the road. You have to really fall for your partner in this phase. Otherwise, you'll have nothing to stand on in the last phase, which is attachment.
Oh.
So attachment is where you and Neil are, Kathleen.
Yeah.
This is where you want to make that lasting commitment. All of like the jittery excitedness has sort of washed away. And now if things are like going well, dopamine decreases and oxytocin and vasopressin increase.
Huh.
And those create the desire to bond, nurture your partner, cuddle with them, be close to them.
Build a life with them.
Trust them with your secrets.
Yeah.
Tell them where the bodies are. You can trust them with all that information.
You know, it's kind of sweet, even though it's scientific.
It really is.
What stage do you think you are in with Dennis?
I feel like we've moved pretty quickly.
You've fast-tracked.
Because we definitely already know what we want in a person and what we're not willing to put up with.
Yep.
And so I think that there was a pretty quick sense of, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I think we're definitely still in attraction. We've only been dating for a year.
A little more than a year.
But yeah, a year and like some change. So ultimately, this says that if you understand the science behind lust, attraction, and attachment, you can develop more realistic expectations of your relationships, right? So you don't expect that the exciting is going to last forever. You also want to keep the good feeling dopamine going by having date nights, doing things together, going on trips where you're doing new stuff together.
Having shared interests.
Yes. When you know what you want. And when you know what you deserve, it's awesome.
I want is a big I want some good quality. I want a good, some good wine, uh-huh. some laughs.
Yeah.
Some jokes.
Out of a relish.
Yeah.
You're a size queen?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Are you a size queen?
No.
No, I don't care. I don't have enough experience with penises to be a size queen. I've seen like maybe three up close and personal my whole life.
It really does not matter. I feel badly for people who are really shamed for the size of their penis. It's okay.
Yes.
Like you are just as capable a lover as anybody else.
And you've got other parts that slip into other parts too. It's not all about your pee. Spring break is on the way.
Yeah, it's coming fast.
And if you're thinking about doing some theme park traveling for spring break,
yes,
we are here to tell you about Undercover Tourist.
I had no idea that this was a thing, and now it is the only thing I'm going to be using for booking theme park travel. So Undercover Tourist helps you get the exact same tickets to theme parks that you know and love for less, and there is no catch.
I know.
You can save up to $145 on each theme park ticket. If you're bringing kids, if you have a family of like four or six, if you're saving up to $145 per ticket, that is so much money you're saving.
So Undercover Tourist has 20 years of quality service experience providing theme park tickets and attraction tickets at a discounted price. And they have an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau.
They can do this because they're an authorized seller. So they just have such a good relationship with these theme parks that they're trusted and they can get a better deal.
It's insane. I had no idea that this company existed. And same. We're here to get the word out because we want you to save when you're traveling.
Totally. And plus, they have free planning tools like free park plans, what to do when, how to save you 4 hours a day not standing in line, blog and travel tips, and so much more.
Undercover Tourist is the trusted name for theme park tickets. Start planning your next theme park vacation right now by visiting undercovertourist.com/taste.
That's an additional discount using Taste on top of the big savings that they already offer through Undercover Tourist.
That's undercovertourist.com/taste. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about Bethany, you sing that song like you're a proud sexual being.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that can't be. Let's talk about sex.
Sex might cause a rash.
What?
I have a bunch of weird sex facts, all from health.com. So sex might cause a rash. Don't panic. If you get red during sex, it's probably your body's natural response to increased blood flow and skin temperature. This is also called sex flush.
Sex flush.
I will say that I had sex this weekend, and then I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, girl, you look good.
Yeah, you got that sex flush.
Have you ever wondered how many calories sex burns?
You know what? I try not to think a ton about calories anymore, but I know it has crossed my mind. So, and I've heard a wide variety of information.
And I always check my Fitbit. After I've done the dirty.
Like, how many steps was this?
It's like really no different than if I were sleeping. So maybe I'm doing the sex wrong. According to health.com, yes, sex burns calories. Getting busy between the sheets for an hour. An hour? An hour? Who does it for an hour?
Who has an hour?
If getting busy between the sheets for an hour can blast as many calories as 30 minutes jogging. I'm doing sex wrong. I'm doing it wrong.
Oh, man.
According to a 2013 study from the University of Quebec, those are the stats. To crunch the numbers, researchers asked 21 couples between the ages of 18 and 35 to wear calorie-tracking armbands while they ran on a treadmill, also while they had sex once a week for a whole month.
Okay.
They found that men burned on average 4.2 calories a minute during sex, while women burned 3.1. So the average sex session for a man, 101 calories. For a woman, 69 calories.
Yeah.
Good
for her.
The average sex session goes for 100 to 500 thrusts.
Well, that's okay.
This is an ex. If you're going on a date this week, please bring this up to your date.
Yeah.
Even better if it's a first date.
Yeah.
Fun fact, 100 to 500 thrusts. Where do you fall on that?
Does all sex involve thrusting? Like, this feels like it's very heteronormative.
Yeah.
But I've also never had any sex other than with a dude.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
No, I haven't either. So, you know
so
what?
I don't know.
Speaking of which, can we talk about lady sex for a second?
Sure.
We have an email from a listener.
LLS. Lady sex.
Lady sex. I am going to change her name. She wants to go by Squirtle.
Squirtle. That's a fun name.
Ladies, Bethany and Kathleen, I come to you not with a question, but with a gripe that makes most heterosexual squirm. No pun intended.
We love a gripe.
I seem to have a knack for provoking female ejaculations.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, girl. Some may view this as a gift. However, for me, it makes sex a chore. I must keep extra towels on hand or even a puppy pad. And that's a lot of fucking laundry. That's how she spelled it. F-U-G-G-I-N.
Okay.
Nothing says thanks for loving like get up and I have to change the sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had this conversation before about the wet spot. This Valentine's Day, I am solo, so maybe I'll stay up with some Truly Seltzers and study the vulva techniques as demonstrated in the Goop Lab. The vagina episode, the vulva episode of the Goop Lab, watch it right now. Watch it right now. If you have a vulva, if you know a vulva,
if
watch
you drive
it.
A vulva.
If you are dating someone with a vulva, you're driving a vulva. I hope to hear that some other taste buds are also freak-a-leaks. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Love, Squirtle.
Is that what that song is about, freak-a-leak?
I don't know what song you're talking about.
Freak-a-leak, Marissa, Gina, Madonna, Freak-a-leak, Michelle.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. But here's the thing. I keep a roll of paper towels next to my bed because I'm not a fan of the wet spot. Because, yes, I don't have a washer dryer and doing laundry like all the time. Nobody has that many bottom sheets. You can't just buy bottom sheets, I don't think. I've never checked on Amazon.
Can I read to you the lyrics to the song Freak-a-Leak?
Who is it by? Can we play a clip?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to play a clip. Hold on. It starts with a fake radio phone call. We love those.
Uh-huh.
Let's take some calls from the request line. Caller number one.
Sounds familiar? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know this song. Where does he say freak-a-leak?
I'll get it. I'll get there. Hold on.
Did he say freak-a-leak in there?
Yeah, he says he keeps repeating it. And then he lists some names of various freak-a-leaks he knows, including Shamika, Keisha, Tara, Shonda, Sabrina, etc.
I don't know much about the female ejaculation. I just Googled it. It's a thing. I mean, I've heard of it before. Apparently, liquid comes out of the urethra. Your urethra is a tube that allows urine to pass through. Ejaculation occurs when fluid, not necessarily urine, is expelled from your urethral opening during sexual arousal.
So you think you're wetting your pants.
Drives me nuts in movies. When people have sex,
yeah,
they stay there forever. Yeah. And I'm like, there are fluids getting on your sheets. They're leaking through your bottom sheet. They're getting on your mattress. And that is hard to clean.
I think that we have been just taught so many awful things. And that is why sex is so difficult, because we believe it should be one way and it is not that way.
Like, I understand that the phrase cum rag is not, it's kind of a gross thing. It's like, I don't like, Bethany, will you say it?
No.
Just say cum rag.
I will not.
I got my.
More freak-a-leaks. Shonda, Lisa, Felicia, Monica.
I got my very waspy, very tied up friend once to say cum rag when we were sitting on the beach.
Why?
And
why is that a thing you wanted her to say?
And everyone in my book club is like, do you remember when she said cum rag? We talk to each other like it was like this epic thing that happened.
This is why I won't say it, because it's just going to be then, hey, remember that one time that Kathleen got Bethany to say that vile?
Well, I would make it like a ringtone, you know, if you ever say it.
Freak-a-leak. Keisha.
Have you ever
Tara.
Orgasmed in your sleep?
Yes.
Yes, I have
yes.
two. I have two.
It's
and
great.
I wake up and I feel like I've cheated on my husband.
I don't necessarily remember how. I just definitely remember that, like, yes.
Believe it or not, this is according to health.com, back to weird sex facts. Believe it or not, you don't even have to be conscious to hit that high note. Some women can have orgasms during an erotic dream while sleeping, according to OBGYN Sherry Ross, MD.
Love her.
How does that happen? Even though there are no physical stimulation things going on, blood flow to the genitals during a sexy dream can still increase like it does during actual sex. Okay,
that's
I get
great.
It. Some blood flow to your vajay, right? Yeah. Or to your pee. And
why can't you say penis?
And the boost in
you
blood.
You can say the CR.
Penis.
Okay.
Penis. Oh my God. I wonder if there's another podcast next to us.
That's Talia is right outside.
That's how you orgasm when you're sleeping.
That's great.
Huh?
We also got a really interesting email from Jessica. She said,
oh, is this the one about rough sex?
No, this is the one about Lysol.
Oh, well, you read it.
Okay. She said, I work for a small ad agency. Our office has been hit by the flu this season. We got into a discussion about Lysol the other day, and one of my coworkers mentioned that it used to be marketed as a douche and a form of birth control for women.
What?
She said, out of curiosity, we started Googling old Lysol ads. We were horrified. The ads show black and white illustrations of women being shunned by their husbands for failing to maintain good feminine hygiene. In one, a man is walking out the door, leaving his wife and daughter behind, all because mom didn't properly disinfect her lady bits.
Stop it!
The headlines say things like, she was a jewel of a wife with just one flaw. And another says, why does she spend the evenings alone?
What?
If that wasn't bad enough, a bunch of women who did douche with Lysol died from putting this toxic substance in their bodies. We still have a long way to go in terms of women's liberation, but these ads just show how far we've come in the past few decades.
You know,
thank you, Jessica from Connecticut. That's fascinating.
Every time I see an ad somewhere for female douche,
yeah,
like a douche product or what is it, Summer's Eve?
Yeah.
Wash your vagina with this special vagina soap. I'm yeah. always like, really?
You're not supposed to.
That still exists.
You're not supposed. It's not good for your flora and fauna. I don't know which word they use for us. Flora or fauna.
It's not good for
flora?
Your pH, you know?
Yeah.
Like your test, like yeah. chemicals in a pool.
Yeah, don't put anything up there
your
that's
body
not supposed to be up there.
Has a certain pH, right?
Yeah.
People love to think about Brad Pitt when they masturbate. Sex toy company Tenga surveyed 13,000 people between the ages of 18 and 74 across the world and asked which celeb they like to think about while they're under the sheets solo. Beyonce also made the list of top five most masturbated to females, along with Jennifer Lawrence, Kim Kardashian, Taylor Swift, Kylie Jenner. For the men most fantasized about, the list was Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, Chris Hemsworth, Tom Cruise, Chris Pratt.
I'm surprised Johnny Depp is still on there.
I don't have a celebrity like that I think about.
I don't think I do either. I used to.
Do you know who I'm so into right now? Not in a sexual way, but like in a way where I think he's a really great dad and a very attentive lover and an intelligent person to have a conversation with. Chris Hayes from MSNBC. God, I love him.
That is not who I was going to guess. I was going to guess a Chris, but not Hayes.
No. Chris Hayes from MSNBC.
He looks like your husband.
I'm very into politics. Yeah,
you're very into adult blonde males.
Yeah, well, he's like brown hair, but he's like just very smart looking. Last night on his show, he was wearing a lot of bronzer, and I was like, hey, Chris. I always say it whenever it's like, I don't know, what time does his show come on MSNBC? 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Say, Neil, will you turn on my boyfriend?
He looks just like more than even your brother does. He looks like your boyfriend.
Yeah, I have a type.
Yeah, you definitely have a type.
Can we read that email from the Taste Bud about rough sex?
Yeah, where is it?
I don't know. Google rough sex in our inbox.
Okay, hold on.
All right. This comes from a Taste Bud. I want to change her name. Let's call her Lucy.
Oh, good name.
Okay. Hi, Bethany and Kathleen.
Hi, Lucy.
If I could be anonymous, that would be awesome.
You're not Lucy.
You're not your Lucy. Okay. If you want to give me... Okay, never mind. Fun
Lucy.
Name. Yeah. Okay. Blah, blah, blah.
Lucy.
I'll
Lucy.
God damn it, Bethany. I'll Lucy. Open.
Sorry, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Now you can go. I'm so sorry. I'm being an asshole.
I'll open with the question, then give you the backstory, since this is edit.
No, I'm going to keep that in. I like that she has a thesis statement, and then she's going to go on to support the thesis statement.
Lucy is, she's a scholar. Okay, one, how would you go about telling your partner to be rougher in the bedroom?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then she says, also, let's say a couple enjoyed a particular activity for argument's sake.
Okay.
Like, oh, I don't know, shibari / robe play. This is something I've never heard of. Okay. Let's say that this couple had to stop this activity due to a completely unrelated injury. Let's say that the injured party is now medically cleared to return to all prior activities.
Okay.
How does one help their partner feel comfortable in participating in a previously enjoyed activity? For the backstory, I've always been active and strong. My partner and I used to run, lift, and train together. Yada, yada, yada. I got into a very serious accident, but through a lot of hard work and physical therapy, I am no longer bedridden. And now I'm am ready to tell my partner that I want him to be a little bit rougher with me in the bedroom.
Okay.
I've left hints, but he's not getting it, and I feel bad because he saw me at my worst, and now he thinks I'm kind of breakable.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I don't know a ton about shibari. I know someone who does it peripherally, which is like rope bondage. So it's...
Oh, I said robe, or maybe she typed robe in the email, but it's rope.
It's rope. Yeah. So it's being from, and I'm going to get so much of this wrong, but from what I understand, it's being tied up in sort of a beautiful, intricate way. I think that there is some elevation involved in it. So being lifted so that your weight is sort of making it all very tight. And
I get it.
It looks intense.
Shibari sex. I'm going to Google image this right now. Let's see what comes up. Oh,
right.
Yes. It's very beautiful. The knots are intricate.
Yeah.
And okay, so I get it. So.
So I know enough about it that like it's something that you need to make sure you both are doing it safely. If you're going to be suspended, you obviously want to make sure that everything's strong enough or whatever. You know this, Lucy. I think that you say maybe after a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
Hey, I went to the doctor. They said that I am cleared for more vigorous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I want you to be vigorous inside of me.
So let's get back to what we used to be doing and make sure that you are medically cleared to do this.
Let's get the ropes out.
Yeah. But I think you just say, hey.
Because I want you to tie me up.
Tie me up. I think you'd be very honest. And I think, make sure that you do have a medical clearance because you want to make sure that you're safe.
Set aside a night. Be like, hey, caring sexual partner, let's have a date night. Get your ropes ready.
Yeah.
Go about it that way.
This is what I would do. Yeah. I don't know what your relationship with your doctor is like, but if you have a doctor that you kind of know and trust, I would actually say, hey, doctor, can you write me a doctor's note to give to my husband or my boyfriend, whatever, my partner, saying that I am cleared for shibari.
Okay.
Because I would kind of then break the tension with that and be like, look, here. And I would hand the note to my partner.
I'm cleared.
It would be kind of like, okay, the doctor even wrote shibari. Okay, it's kind of funny. All right.
It's kind of like when you have a baby. Not that I know what that's like, but I have friends that have had babies and you go to the doctor like a couple of weeks after you've given birth and doctor is like, you're good for sex.
Yeah.
Your vagina stitches look healed.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's got to be scary when you're the partner and you don't know how to help the other person who's in pain and who's, you know, on a very minor level. Like Dennis has a hernia and he's had it for a long time.
Oh, poor Dennis.
Yeah. And he can't get surgery on it because he doesn't have health insurance. So like he's just living with it. So I won't let him carry anything because I just don't want him to be hurt. And he's like, no, I am a functioning adult. I can carry things, but I want to just protect him as much as possible.
Of course.
So I imagine that Lucy's partner is scared.
Yeah.
But
good luck, Lucy.
Just be really honest.
I hope you have a naughty Valentine's Day. You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
All right. Some more fun sex facts before we wrap this up. You can actually really turn a man on with your voice. So I guess men respond to sexy voices as opposed to women.
Oh, that makes sense.
So a 2014 study done by Albright University found that women were able to consciously manipulate their voices while counting from 1 to 10 to sound more attractive.
Oh, totally.
When the guys in the study tried to do the same thing, they came off sounding less attractive. Sorry, dudes.
Because I have listened to guys' voices where just the sound of their voice turned me on so much. Like back in our old radio days.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, some dude would call in and I'd be like, whoa.
Yep.
But that was just their voice. They weren't trying.
I mean, yeah, there are some guys with voices that I'm definitely attracted to. Yeah. I'm like, what do you look like?
Yeah.
If I haven't seen their face. So what kind of voice makes a woman sound sexier? A deep, breathy voice, according to researchers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Men are attracted to this kind of pitch because they prefer women with lower voices because when a woman drops her voice, she's signaling that she's interested. Oh, I get it. It's like probably a brain.
Hello.
It's a brain thing.
Hello.
Hello.
I can make myself sexier by deepening my voice.
Maybe that's why Elizabeth Holmes,
known for her sexiness,
was known. Got all those angel investors.
Probably.
What was the name of her company again?
Theranos.
Theranos. Her trial is coming up soon.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
Kathleen, do a deep, sexy voice.
You know it's my dream.
What?
You know it's my absolute dream. I've actually recently contacted a voice coach.
What?
Because it is my dream just once. I don't even need to make a career out of it. I just want to read the audiobook for an erotic novel.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is my absolute, like, I just want to make it happen. So I like maybe in the process of hiring a voice coach to like teach me how to do that. And so I can like go on auditions for just erotic novels.
That's it.
Do
you want me to find you some copy to read?
I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
Bethany. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to say your name.
Please don't.
Let's pretend I'm reading a book. I'm just going to make this off the top of my head.
Okay.
Miranda was sitting there in front of Tony. The peach between her legs. Throbbing as she watched him.
Why does she have a peach between her legs?
Pick up the bricks from the backyard. He was building her a fire pit.
Wait, what is happening?
She said to herself, I am so glad I found a mason on Tinder.
Wait, this erotic novel is about stonemasonry?
I swiped right on the right man to make me the backyard of my dreams.
Why is she holding her peach in her lap?
And now, Bethany, it's a euphemism for her vagina.
Is
her,
it?
Her throbbing peach watched the sweat drip down Tony's back, and he said, hey, Miranda, do you think you want this brick here or that brick there? And she said, I don't care, Tony.
Wait.
I want you to come over here with your wet cement. I want you to put your wet cement inside of my... I'm not saying that I want to be an author.
But
I
like the voice.
Thanks.
I really like the voice a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I think that's great. I like it a lot. I'm still stuck on the peach that has eyes.
But
you know what? I like it. I like it. Did I hurt your feelings?
No, you didn't hurt my feelings.
I think I'm too mean to you sometimes.
No, you're not too mean to me. You're no more mean than I am to myself.
Oh God.
Okay, Bethany, your ultimate fantasy.
Oh, I've already told you this.
What's your ultimate fantasy?
Okay.
Sex fantasy.
Sex fantasy. Uh-huh. Once upon a time.
Yeah.
I am the daughter of a very overbearing baron. Remember this?
No.
The overbearing baron will not ever let me leave the chateau.
Do you have a daddy complex?
No. Okay. Shut up. He's just, this is the story frame.
Do you even know how to ski?
Okay, hold on. Not a chalet.
What else? Oh, okay.
A chateau.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Anyway, so one night when my overbearing baron is like away or whatever, he's asleep, I escape out my window and I run down to the horse barn. You know this.
No, I don't.
And then I find Tristan, the stable boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tristan, my overbearing baron father is being overbearing. And he is like, again. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, prepare the horse because I got to get away from here. And he's like, okay. And so then he does. And then I get on the horse and I start to ride away, escaping this home that I hate.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I realize it's raining and I'm not anywhere near where I need to be. And I have to turn around and ride back. And I get there and I am soaked.
Yeah.
My petticoat is wet.
Wet.
And I get to his little, he has a tiny little house, like a masonry, little home outside the stables because that's where he lives.
You're into masons too.
I mean, there's something hot about stonework. So then I am so ashamed, but I knock on the door and he opens the door and he's wearing his poety sort of shirt, but it's like unlaced because it's nighttime. He's not working at the horses anymore. He's off the clock.
And the fireplace is probably going. He's a little bit warm inside
of his
masonry hut.
Yeah. And he's reading and he has a glass of port and he was like, my lady. And I'm like,
port.
I know. And I'm so ashamed. And I was like, I can't. And he's like, don't worry about it. And he brings me in and, and then it's like, thank God you were here this whole time.
And then
and
you
it's
have
like
sex.
Raining. And then I don't remember what we do the rest of the time.
And then
but
you
anyway,
have sex.
That's
yeah.
how I got there.
Mm. Yeah.
It's, and then at the end, at the very end, I'm like, thank you. And he's like, don't thank me. I've been here the whole time. And I'm like, what? And he's like, it's all a dream.
It's all a dream.
And I'm like, sexy dream. And then I wake up and it's been a year.
Are you turned on? Say something. I'm feeling unsupported. I feel like I'm not being held up. Say something.
Yes, Bethany. I am turned on, I think.
It's been a year. My sex story flustered you.
Bethany.
Yes.
I'm so excited to do this commercial. So excited. You know why?
Why?
Because I haven't gotten sick this flu season or cold season.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I'm getting better quality sleep.
Yes.
Due to my gravity blanket.
I love my gravity blanket. If you don't get enough sleep, it affects everything. It affects your mood, your productivity, your health.
You need to look into a weighted blanket. And Bethany and I have both been using gravity blankets. It's a game changer. And gravity blanket is top of the line.
Yeah, they are the top rated weighted blanket that helps you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. They're the only blanket proven to improve sleep quality. And Gravity Blanket has a new lower price of $189. But if you're one of our listeners, which you are, you get an extra 20% off.
Gravity Blanket, in terms of weighted blankets, top of the line. Gravity Blanket uses deep touch pressure stimulation to give you the sensation of being hugged. When I get into bed and I pull my Gravity Blanket over me, it's like my sleep anxiety melts away and I go into a much deeper, more restful sleep than I do when I don't have my Gravity Blanket.
Gravity has an impeccable lineup of sleep products too. So not just the blanket, they have weighted eye masks and travel blankets designed to give you a perfect night's rest. They also come in different weights. So they have 15, 20, and 25 pound varieties, plus king and queen size blankets that are now back in stock.
Yeah, they have this little chart on the website that's like, if you weigh between this and this, get, you know, this weight of blanket.
Yeah.
It's really easy. I cannot recommend this product enough.
So learn more about Gravity Blankets at gravityblankets.com and then use the promo code TASTE to get 20% off your purchase today.
That's gravityblankets.com. Use the code TASTE to get 20% off of the blanket that everyone is talking about. All right.
So, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
I interviewed my older sister, Nicole, this morning, and she had ideas on one thing that you should do to make your relationship more of a success.
Oh.
Or to ensure that your relationship is a success.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
My sister, Nicole, who also saw this idea on Younger, the Hilary Duff Sutton Foster vehicle.
Oh, your sister watches Younger?
Yeah, those are my sources.
One of the best shows on TV.
She said, if you are looking for a relationship that lasts longer than a few months, and maybe you're not, but if you are, it helps a lot if you have at least one thing in common that you do.
Like TV shows?
No. Having a thing that you believe in is great.
Yeah.
But something you both like doing is much more helpful because that way you have a thing you can talk about. So the physical activities like rock climbing.
Yeah.
Or if you love she loves the game Gloomhaven. She and her husband play it because they're nerds.
You're definitely related.
Gardening, running, sports in terms of like the way you approach sports. So it's not helpful if one person loves football watching and the other person loves playing soccer.
Mm.
But like if you both love watching soccer and breaking down strategy, that's awesome. The more specific that thing is, the better. So she said, if you both like movies, but you like different types of movies, then you just like stories and you're just a human. That's not helpful. But if you both love camera angles or a specific director, that's more specific and better. So you don't have to lose yourself in the thing that the other person likes. You can absolutely be introduced into liking a new thing. But be careful not to disappear into their passions. And you also don't have to love a thing they love. But if you have at least one thing together that you love to do, it is very helpful.
I'm trying to think of what Neil and I have that we love to do together.
Yeah.
Eat.
Food. So you both love food.
We like to drink.
Yeah.
We like to talk about our cats.
You both love your cats.
We love TV.
Do you love the same kind of TV?
Yeah, sure. We watch a lot of TV shows together.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, according to your sister, I don't know if I have such a good relationship.
But you both are also very good at traveling together.
Yes, we love travel.
You love, so that's a great thing.
And we love discovering and learning about other cultures.
That's a huge one. So that's great.
What's your thing with Dennis?
Nicole pointed out that Dennis and I both love the aesthetic of clothes.
Ah.
Like Dennis loves to put together an outfit.
Yeah. I mean, and he's an excellent dresser.
Yeah.
He told me that he's going to like really go all out when you guys come over to my house for dinner.
I think I'm wearing a ball gown.
And I was like, we are very casual people. Like I'll probably be in sweatpants. Like,
I will be in a ball gown.
We are casual people. Okay. I don't even think I'm going to vacuum before you two come over because you two are family.
That's great. You're family as well. We also both love the making of films. Like we both get super turned on talking about how like a one shot is done.
Yeah.
And if it involves a drone, even better. So that kind of stuff.
Politics. I think Neil and I are like, we're really into, I was a poli-sci major.
Oh, that's right.
You know, we had a taste bud, an Iowan who said that, you know, the Iowa caucuses were recently, yep. and you don't really have to follow politics to understand that, you know, a caucus is like kind of like voting, but you like go to an area if you live in the state of Iowa and you stand in a certain part of the gym and they kind of narrow it down to yeah. which people in the Democratic Iowa caucus, which candidates are like leading in Iowa, right?
It's not as easy as like, yeah, just voting. You, it's like an investment of your yeah. time.
You have to go and like meet other people and then it's, and it's kind of like they knock it down. It's yeah. sort of like, I don't know, you vote for like six people and then the top three, and then if you voted for the bottom three, you need to like them
choose a new one.
Choose a new one, yeah. So we had a taste bud who left us a voicemail, and she's like, I was very nervous to go. I didn't have anybody to go with, and through the help of our taste bud fan group on Facebook, people like gave her the courage to go to the caucus, and I thought
that's
that
amazing.
Was so amazing, because it's more important now than ever to like really figure out what you believe in, your core political beliefs, and,
yep.
and get involved in this election cycle. It's,
yeah.
politics are so exciting. Like, I majored in poli-sci. Poli-sci was boring when I was in college.
I feel like the stakes are so much higher now.
It's so much more interesting. So yeah. I thought that maybe that was like just a fun little thing to
That's
share with
awesome.
Her.
Yeah, and
I taste buds.
That voicemail was great, and I was very proud of her.
All right. Can I talk to you about magazines for a second?
Yes.
So this was our sex episode. So I was like, let me pick up an issue of Cosmo. So I went into my local CVS, and I picked up the March 2020. They didn't have February anymore. I'm sure the February has a lot more sex stuff than this. But the magazine section was like nil.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. And then I was like, okay, when I get to the city, I will go into a drugstore in the city.
Yeah.
I walked into a Duane Reade in a major section of the city, Herald Square. They no longer have a magazine section.
Whoa.
And there were like some magazines by the checkout. There was like maybe four or five different magazines. And that was it. They didn't even have Cosmo.
So it's that many magazines are just out of print now?
They're not. I don't know. Are they selling them at like Forever 21? Like where are people actually buying Cosmo? And also, I will tell you this, that I don't know if it's like Cosmo's demographic, but it's all star sign based.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like it's all of the articles are like astrology based. I will say that the best sign ex sex is Pisces, and I'm a Pisces. So,
oh, well done.
Yeah, and the worst is Capricorn.
Oh, thank God I'm not a Capricorn.
But there's this whole article in Cosmo, how to astrologically. There you go. Thank you. Trick your boss into giving you a raise. This makes me angry.
Why?
You don't want to trick your boss into giving you a raise? Like, this is actual bullshit. How about, Cosmo, you write an article about how to produce good work and get the raise that you freaking deserve.
Oh, that's fair.
Like, that's,
yeah.
I mean,
they have to produce a full magazine of fluffy content every month.
I think it's like a younger demo. Maybe I've just grown out of Cosmo.
It's possible.
The print and the colors were beautiful in this issue. The art direction has never been better.
It's very tangerine and like a bright orange.
But I think the magazine industry is like really in that much trouble.
I'm not surprised.
When was the last time you bought a magazine? Like, do you buy magazines on the reg?
No, I get one every week.
Yeah.
I seldom read it.
Yeah.
I never have time.
Which one do you get? The New Yorker?
No, I get the Hollywood Reporter.
Really?
And because
that's your industry.
Yeah. And yeah. I'll like look at ratings, and I'll look if there's any like a couple weeks ago, there was a story on mental health
mm-hmm.
in the entertainment industry, yeah. which is important to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have the time to sit down and page through a magazine the way I used to.
I mean, who does? Yeah. I used to be obsessed with magazines. I got my start working in this industry in magazines, and everything's available on the internet now.
Yep. That's tough.
I would rather subscribe to a digital magazine so I don't even have to have the paper in my house.
See, I would rather have something to hold on to.
Really?
Yeah. I need the tangible.
I get the New Yorker because I donate to NPR.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I take it with me on the train so people think I'm smart.
And you're wearing glasses, so they know you're smart.
I'm definitely smart.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I don't know.
Do you want me to go first?
You go first, Bethany. I'm not sure what I learned this week.
Okay. So my sister is staying with me. And so when that happens, I usually get like really amazing insights about myself because she feels the same way about things. And then I figure out that it came from like our genetics or whatever. And I realized that we both always narrate what we're doing and where we're going.
Okay.
Like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom really quickly, or I'm just, you know, I'm going to go into the living room and just hang out for a while.
Yeah.
Because we both assume that if we don't know where someone went, they are mad at us. And it made us realize that we assume that if we don't hear from someone, they are mad at us. And so Nicole put it as, in the absence of information, there is anger. we just assume that if someone doesn't email us back, it's because they're mad at us.
Yeah.
If someone left the room, it's because they're mad at us. If someone didn't return a call, it's because they're mad at us. We immediately assume that we are at fault all the time. And it's
I get it.
Very interesting.
Like, imagine if I just walked out of this room right now and didn't tell you where I was going.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, she's so mad at me. I don't know what I did, but it's obviously something I did.
Sometimes it's just a number two emergency.
Sometimes you gotta do a number two.
And I gotta make a mad dash.
So, I don't know. I think if you have siblings, love them, because they are one of the few people in the world who have the same worldview as you very often, because you were probably raised by the same people.
Exactly.
So, it's useful.
I often thank my lucky stars that I have a brother who understands everything about me. And, yeah, you know,
and vice versa.
And vice versa.
Yeah. All right. What'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
I learned that for 9 years straight, this comes from Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's Bible. For 9 years straight, whatever has been voted the most annoying word in the English language.
Whoa.
I understand.
I understand, too.
Because the most passive aggressive thing you could say to someone, even more annoying than I don't care about your opinion, mm-hmm. is whatever.
It's so dismissive.
Whatever.
I don't know if there is a good way to hear the word whatever.
Whatever. As if.
Like, do you want to go to Chipotle or Olive Garden?
Oh, whatever.
Whatever. Still dismissive.
Make a decision. I'm asking you to make a decision.
Get invested.
It's like, it's hurtful. Oh, do you want to marry me?
Whatever. Oh, yeah, that's maddening.
Oh, my blood is boiling.
That's a pet peeve. Also, if you ask someone a question and their response is, I don't know, stop and try again. That I will not allow that as an answer.
Oh, really?
Yep. Why do you think you feel this way? Oh, I don't know. No. Stop and think about it.
Yeah, that's
you
just
can figure it out.
It's just as bad as whatever.
Because it's like lazy, and I know that you can figure it out. It's just that you don't want to try.
Ooh, you know.
You know.
And that's when I look at my therapist and say, no, you know. That's why I'm paying.
Yeah, I'm paying you to know.
I'm sitting here for you to know.
Whatever. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. Where can we find you, Bethany?
Oh, I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter and Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram.
If you are listening to this podcast on, you know, any sort of platform, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Our mothers give us gold stars when they see we get more 5 stars.
They do.
And it helps us move up in the rankings. So please, that would be a great Valentine's Day gift from you. Taste buds.
Totally.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can send us an email and acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, we play them at the end of every podcast. Sometimes we play them in the middle of the podcast if they're interesting enough. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
You can also send a snail mail, P.O. Box 1717 Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Shout out to Taste Bud Nate, who made us limoncello.
Yeah, that was so, so nice of you. These beautiful glass bottles. Yeah. That was so thoughtful. This is also your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
That was therapeutic.
That was good.
Taste buds, we've got merch for you. Check it out in our the link on our Instagram or on our website.
Yes.
Acquired Taste Podcast.
And Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Jesse. I'm just calling because I was listening to this week's bonus episode. And Bethany, I also dated a Brandon who was also dating another girl. And I also did not know that he was. And so I just wanted to let you know that you are not alone and that there are a lot of Brandons out there pulling the wool over sheep's eyes. Have a great week, ladies.
Hi, everyone. My name is Helen. I'm calling from Miami. And I had to call after listening to today's episode. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for being open with everyone. I've never experienced bulimia, but I have many friends that have. And I know listening to something like what you just shared, I know the weight of that and how impactful it is for others. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Honestly, like, even if I haven't gone through it, I have had my own body issues, and it's just nice to hear women that I admire talking so openly about these issues.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. It's Tammy, the Magnolia Taste Bud. I was just listening to this week's podcast, and you were talking about group therapy and how helpful it is. Well, I feel like that the fan group is a form of group therapy because you realize that you're not the only one going through what you're going through, and it's just, thank y'all for helping us. Thank you for creating this community for us.
Hi, I'm not going to share my name, but I just wanted to thank Kathleen from the deepest part of my heart for sharing her story about bulimia. I've had an eating disorder since I was 6 years old, and I've been hospitalized for it 4 times, and there is truly nothing more isolating in the entire world. Well, I don't know that, but my experience is that my eating disorder has been so isolating because you're going through it alone. You're afraid to share, just like Kathleen said, because of how ashamed you are of it. And it's this constant battle that's so exhausting that it's hard to have the energy to have close friends. And it's hard to have close friends when you're keeping a huge secret. So I wanted to thank Kathleen so, so much for sharing that, because it made me feel like I'm less alone. And anytime you have an eating disorder and you don't feel quite as isolated as you have before, it's such a gift.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. It is Caitlin, longtime listener. I heard something today that was really interesting about online dating profiles, and that people often ask their friends or someone they know them really well to set it up for them. The friend or whoever picks the photos and writes the bio. And I was thinking about this, and I have wonderful friends, but I would easily 100% have you, Kathleen and Bethany, do my online dating profile. I feel like you guys would be so, so good.
Hey ladies, this is Kelly. I'm just giving you a call because I just went to Trader Joe's and I'm about to walk into Target, so it's a good day. I had not finished the podcast, the most recent one yet, but I just wanted to call and say, Kathleen, you are so brave for sharing your story. And I just, I really want to thank you for the vulnerability and the honesty. I am a recovering anorexic who struggled with that ever since I was about 10 years old. So I know the struggle, I know the feeling and how it's your comfort and how whenever times get stressful, that's something that you can go back to. And I wanted to say it's a hard road, but it's the best one that I've ever taken. I'm just so proud of you for the willingness you have to share your story. So I love you both. I see you like family, and I just always look forward to hearing your voices every week. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It is Vanessa from Wisconsin. I always share my drama with you because I have no friends. LOL. I just said LOL out loud. That's ridiculous. But anyways, I just finished your podcast yesterday, the latest one. And Kathleen, I am so fucking proud of you. You are amazing. And you are the bravest human being that I know. And so is Bethany. Like, you guys relate to so many people and you don't understand. And I'm so happy that I reactivated my Facebook page to be a part of the Acquired Taste Podcast group on Facebook, because every single taste bud is so amazing. And I am so, so, so thankful for you, for Kathleen, Bethany, and all the taste buds. So thank you so much for starting an amazing community of people that who suffer with so many things, but we can all come together and not be so hateful and so judgmental. So I appreciate you guys so much, and I hope you're having a wonderful, safe weekend. Bye.